that or upgrade to another plan. See staples.com/printfree for life for details.
Is there a worse day to start a diet than the day after Halloween? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
If you carry any baggage into Game 7 of the World Series, then you're certainly misguided with your attention. I mean, we will come as positive as ever, ready to play. It is, what looks to be one of the most exhilarating games that we're ever going to be a part of.
That's Houston Astros manager A.J. Hinch, a native Iowan. How many of you knew that? I didn't know that before the World Series. I was unaware. Somebody's going to win. It's Game 7 of the World Series tonight between the Dodgers and the Astros. We'll have it for you right here on KGYM. I am Lance McCullers Jr. taking the mound for Houston. Yu Darvish throws for the Dodgers. And I am not ready for baseball season to be over just yet. I am ready to bring you a great show tonight. And I'm going to deliver on that promise. Gary Ryan of the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers set to join us at the bottom of the hour. The UNI's men's basketball team in Madison tonight to kick off its basketball season with an exhibition against Wisconsin as part of the hurricane relief efforts. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is going to join us at 6 o'clock tonight. He'll answer your fantasy football questions courtesy of Imon Communications. We got the 6 o'clock showdown. We got a brand new watch from Hertin and Stocker to hand out as well. Remember, this is the weekend that we fall back to standard time, so turn those clocks back before you go to bed. And hello and welcome in. Hopefully everybody had a safe and happy Halloween last night. By the time I got home, there was about, I'd say maybe still a dozen kids that came through the neighborhood, and I committed a faux pas, Alex, something that I have not done in the 4 years that we have lived in Cedar Rapids. This is the first year that I did not buy enough candy bars. And so the last dozen or so kids who came by the house last night, they got packages of Goldfish crackers and some granola bars that may or may not have been pretty close to expiring.
Man, I wish I would have.
But they got handfuls of them.
I wish you would have taken the candy that nobody ate yesterday.
They got handfuls of. So would you rather have handfuls of granola bars or one candy bar? They were happy to. The kids were happy with quantity over sketchy quality at that point. So. Needless to say, I woke up this morning, there were no eggs on the front of the house, no toilet paper in the trees in the front yard or anything, and everybody can live to fight another day. But November is here, the baseball season's just about over, we got basketball season in full swing, some more developments, I guess further developments on the Brian Ferentz front, plenty to get to, some stories out of the National Football League, a ton of stuff to get to today, and thank you again to everybody who stopped by the station yesterday for our Halloween festivities. It really was a fun time. Unfortunately, we did have some raisins and some Capri. It wasn't Capri Sun. It was Crystal Light packets left over. I was kind of hoping somebody would come by and take those off our hands last night, but needless to say, we had a good time, and hopefully you do too as well. 319-366-1600, that is the Hertin and Stocker text line, and you can use it to reach out to us, either picking up the phone and giving us a call or, as we just mentioned, texting. There's a poll question today at KGYMradio.com. As you can imagine, it's pretty easy to figure out what the question is today. Who's going to win the World Series tonight? Game 7, the final game of the baseball season. It's either going to be the Dodgers or the Astros. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. And I've got to think that the Astros have a pretty tall task in front of them tonight, knowing that Yu Darvish is going to start this game, and at some point in time, Clayton Kershaw could come in and pitch in relief.
You would think so, but just with the way that this series has gone, I think we're in for another wildly entertaining game. And I know a lot of people were thinking that the Houston Astros were going to be able to close out the series last night because they had Justin Verlander on the mound. Justin Verlander was outstanding, but ran into a little bit of trouble in the sixth inning. And here we are in a game seven, and Yu Darvish will be on the mound against Lance McCullers Jr. Did you see Lance McCullers getting loose after last night's game?
Yeah, he was doing his long tossing.
He was doing his long tossing last night. So, I would probably give the Dodgers the edge going into game seven because they've been very good at home. The Houston Astros have not been great on the road, but this is game seven, and I think we're in for another wacky game in what has been an outstanding and all-time classic series.
Who is the World Series MVP at this point for either the Dodgers or the Astros? 3-6-6-1600, depending on the outcome of the game tonight. I think there are a number of players that have built up a pretty strong resume. I think if the Astros wind up winning, it would be hard for me to not look at a guy like George Springer, who's had a tremendous World Series. If the Dodgers wind up winning, I think there's a number of players on the Dodgers that you could make a case for World Series MVP. But this has been good for baseball, and I said this coming into the series, that whether it was going to be the Yankees or the Astros, that with L.A. and either New York or Houston, that this was going to be good. It was going to be watched. The ratings have been very strong for baseball. And I don't know if I'm ready for things to come to an end here, but once they do, I guess we'll get the ball rolling on the offseason. There have been some moves, some coaching staffs being hired and managers being put in place and everything. But for the most part, those of us who like baseball still clinging to the thought that there's a little bit more to be played. And I don't know, you can't really do it today. We'll have to have this discussion tomorrow and in the future. But where this World Series rests in the pantheon of great World Series is it's got to be right up there right now. And unless you're a Dodgers or an Astros fan, and I went through this last year, guys, I know exactly what you're feeling. And Alex, you probably did as well in the year that the Cardinals played the Rangers, where that a tremendous World Series went back and forth and went down to the wire before the Cardinals ultimately wound up prevailing. As long as you don't have a rooting interest, you can sit back and go, man, this is fun. When it's your team and you're living and dying by every pitch and every ground out, and in the case of Cubs fans last year, every minute of that rain delay in Game 7, yeah, I wouldn't want to be BJ and Marion today. I wouldn't want to be John Bonenkamp or any of the other Dodgers fans that I know, and there are quite a number of them that associate with me. That's not fun, but ultimately, probably, well, the way that the games have been going, I'll say conservatively 7.5 hours from now, somebody's going to be happy and somebody's going to be upset, and then we move on and we close the books on this season. But it's been a great series. I don't necessarily cotton to a ton of offense in my baseball. I'm more of a guy who likes 3-1, 3-2 ball games, and last night was much closer to what I consider to be a great World Series game. But you got the storyline with the baseballs and whether or not they got a little extra juice. Rich Hill last night steps off of the mound when Yuli Gurriel comes up to bat. Gurriel is the Houston Astros player who made the gesture to Kenta Maeda when he was on the mound, or was Darvish?
Yu Darvish.
It was Yu,
yes.
Darvish. Made the gesture to Yu Darvish and then was seen mouthing a word that, depending on how you look at it, Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times and Ed Creech mentioned this yesterday, had a really good piece about how he doesn't find that term to be offensive. And a lot of other people do. And certainly the gesture was offensive. And so what does Rich Hill do last night as Gurriel gets announced and he's stepping into the batter's box? He decides that would be a good time to step off the mound and maybe collect himself and gather his composure a little bit And he did it on purpose so that the Dodger Stadium crowd could boo Gurriel a little bit longer. It's just there's been a number of small to large storylines that have added to the intrigue in this series, and I would be lying if I sat here and said that I knew how things were going to play out tonight. I just, if I were in Las Vegas and I were a betting man, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form anywhere close to the guy who's been rolling over his bets, RJ Bell from pregame.com confirmed that story last night, that a bettor has been wagering heavily on the World Series and rolling his wins over, and he's been perfect so far. He's hit all six games. He had the Dodgers last night, and it sounds like this guy's going to put his millions on the line again. If I were in his shoes, I'd bet on the Dodgers. They've got to be heavy favorites tonight, knowing that Darvish and Kershaw are both going to be available. And I don't know, after using Kenley Jansen for a six-out save last night, whether you can go to that well again or not, but it's the postseason. And if Dave Roberts feels that it's necessary, and I don't know. Did he make a mistake last night? I don't think so. Because, again, in that situation, if you blow it, there's no Game 7. You've got to close out the Astros in the eighth and ninth inning last night, and he went to one of the best relief pitchers in baseball to do it. There is no tomorrow if you don't win today or tonight. And so that's the approach that Roberts took last night. And I don't know if you saw this or not, or read it, I should say, but apparently Dave Roberts, on his way to the post-game interview room, was intercepted by Tommy Lasorda, the former Dodgers manager, baseball legend. Lasorda gives him a bear hug and says, "You haven't won jack until you win tomorrow night. You haven't done blank until you win tomorrow night." Just sort of reinforcing that, hey, good manager, winning games, getting your team to the World Series. It's been exciting. It's been fun. But nobody remembers the losing manager in the World Series all that often. And nobody throws parades for the team that loses the World Series. So there's a lot on the line tonight for Dave Roberts, who is still relatively green as a manager. And A.J. Hinch, you could say the same thing about him as well. But they both have great lineups to put out there. And I'm just hoping that it's not going to be a disappointing game tonight, because the rest of the series, with a few minor exceptions, has lived up to the billing, and it's been fantastic. And the Astros' offense has been great, and the Dodgers have been hitting the ball out of the park. And outside of the bullpens, which we talked coming into the series, the Dodgers' bullpen was so great, and I gave them the edge over the Astros because of the bullpen. They're gassed. And I think you're starting to see at this point, when you get to November 1st and all of the spring training games and all of the 162 regular season games and the postseason games, everything is added up to these guys, and they are coasting on fumes right now. And it's going to be whichever team can coast just a little bit more, who just has a little bit more gas in the tank tonight, is going to wind up hoisting the commissioner's trophy.
Is this a situation where both managers need their starters to go six-plus innings, or are we going to see everybody at their disposal tonight? Because I think everybody's running on fumes at this point, and I think in a Game 7, there are a lot of situations where fumes and adrenaline can get you through, because there is no tomorrow. This is the last game of the Major League Baseball season. So I don't think we're going to see a 13-12 game. I also don't think we're going to see a 3-1 game. I think we're going to see some scoring, but not as much as we saw the other night. And
7-5.
7-5, 6-5, one-run game. Somebody has to get the last three outs unless the Dodgers win it on a walk-off. And that's where I guess I give the Dodgers a little bit of an advantage heading into this Game 7. I'm not necessarily a believer in momentum when you head into a game like this, because like A.J. Hinch just said, this is it. I don't think that you can, in a World Series game, lose a Game 6 and come back flat in a Game 7. unless you're completely mentally weak, and it's shown that both of these teams are not. So I think we're going to see a great game, and quite honestly, I don't know who to pick because I thought that this series was going to go seven, and I guess I picked the Dodgers at the beginning of the season, and I'll stick with it. Yeah, I guess I'll stick with the Dodgers.
The National League is 23-14 all-time in Game 7s, and they've also won the last three Game 7s, including Chicago last year going on the road and beating the Indians after that 17-minute rain delay late in the game. 9 of the last 11 Game 7s have been won by the team that trailed in the series 3-2 and had to win Game 6 to force Game 7. The 2014 San Francisco Giants and the 1997 Florida Marlins are the two exceptions to that rule. So that would tend to favor the Dodgers tonight. And they are the home team. And, you know, fight the traffic and beat Larry King to the ballpark. But the atmosphere, I think, was lacking a little bit compared to the games in Houston. And maybe it's just the fact that Dodger Stadium's a little bit bigger and a little bit older. It's more spread out, and then Minute Maid Park is sort of right on top of the field, and the fences are a little bit closer at Minute Maid Park, too. I don't want to make a big deal out of that, but you also point to that as far as the offensive production going on in this series, but we'll see. I have a hard time picking against the Dodgers tonight. And I give no rooting interest. Like I said the other day, I don't dislike the Dodgers because they beat the Cubs in the National League Championship Series or anything. And truth be told, if I had a second favorite team when I was growing up, I was a big Mike Socha fan. And there may or may not be a couple photos of me floating around as an 8-year-old with a Dodgers sweatshirt on and my catcher's mitt. And I like the Astros, too. I think they're fun to watch. I think 14 guys on that Houston roster came through Quad Cities in the Midwest League, so saw a lot of them up close and personal, including Carlos Correa, who was the only player drafted ahead of Byron Buxton in 2012. And we saw Byron here in Cedar Rapids with the Colonels, and he and Correa were in the league at the same time that year. There's just a lot of young talent. This series bodes well, I think, for baseball. It's good. Everybody talks about Bryce Harper and some of these other young players, but you've got a lot of young stars on the Dodgers, and in Cody Bellinger, who the first player to ever have multiple 4-strikeout games in the World Series, but that just again underscores where we're at in today's game. Strikeouts are no longer that big of a deal, and 20 years ago, you'd be absolutely mortified at a guy striking out 4 times, not once, but twice in the World Series. And then the Astros, again, Jose Altuve, who's going to be the MVP in the American League, and Carlos Correa. George Springer is another guy, as we mentioned, I would probably lean towards Springer if the Astros win it as far as World Series MVP, because he's come up time and time again with the big hit. It's been a very good World Series, and there have been some in recent memory where you go, okay, let's kind of get this thing over with, and then we can completely focus on football. And I'm not ready to necessarily do that, although you'd have a hard time convincing college football fans in the area, especially Iowa State fans, to not focus on football just yet tonight after the college football playoff poll came out last night. But that's kind of how I approach things.
I think the best thing for baseball, the best thing that this series has shown about baseball, is that a lot of people complain about, A, the entertainment value of baseball. Oh, it's boring. And then a lot of people complain about the ratings. And remember after Game 1 when we saw the ratings were down 19% from last year? And that was the concern. Oh, it's not a good match. It's not a marquee matchup. The Astros are not a team that America recognizes. And by Game 3, we were talking about this series getting better ratings than an NFL Sunday night football game. The sheer entertainment value of this series has driven up the ratings. Nothing else. Nothing else has driven up the ratings except for the play on the field. It's been so good and so entertaining that we have gone from down 19% in the television ratings to seeing baseball right there with the NFL. So I think that that shows that Major League Baseball, and it shows people that like Major League Baseball that if it's played at a high level, it can be there. It can be right there with the NFL and the NBA.
I do think they benefited from having the LA and Houston TV markets involved in the series. Just like last year, it wasn't necessarily just the Cubs in the World Series, but you had the Chicago TV market. Anytime you get New York, LA, or a market such as Houston, which I don't, you know, people fail to realize sometimes just how big Houston is as far as cities go. I mean, it's very large, and there are a ton of people there, and they love their sports, and they love their Astros. They're dialed in, and somebody said yesterday it would have been appropriate had the Astros won last night on Halloween since they used to have the candy corn-style uniforms. If I'm the Astros, I'd figure out a way to roll with those tonight. Bring out the throwback uniforms and throw as much color at the Dodgers as possible, but I'm not in charge of such things, and we'll get you to that game at 7 o'clock tonight. Somebody is going to walk away a World Series champion, and then it's on to the offseason, and then we, again, can turn our attention fully to college and pro football and the NBA and everything else. And all of you people out there that complain that we talk too much baseball, well, I have no idea what we'll be doing moving forward. 426, I do know that after this break, Kyle's going to join us for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and coming up in just a few minutes, you'll hear from the guy who's going to be calling the action tonight at the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin. It's UNI play-by-play voice Gary Rima set to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM, back after this.
The Florida Keys were pounded by Hurricane Irma. I'm Jonathan Smith, proud owner of four radio stations in the fabulous Florida Keys. Our island chain economy depends on tourism. You can help us with our recovery, and it won't cost a single tax dollar or require a monetary donation. Just plan a vacation here. Some of our businesses have closed, and others face an uncertain future. But many of our hotels, resorts, fishing boat captains, dive boats, and restaurants are open for business and are welcoming guests. We air a daily fishing report on our Keys radio stations, and the show host, who has been sport fishing our abundant water since 1964, wants to personally invite you to visit.
Hi, I'm Captain Skip Bradine of the new Blue Chip 2 sport fishing boat in Amarada, inviting you all to come on down and see us. We're open for business.
Join us for a sun-soaked Florida Keys vacation and contribute to the economic recovery from hurricane damage. Thanks to member radio stations of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank, like this one, for donating the airtime for this invitation to visit us in the fabulous Florida Keys.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
428, welcome back in. It is the Todd Rommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn, answering your fantasy football questions at the top of hour number three tonight with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. Get them to us early on the Hertin and Stocker text line, 366-1600. Kyle has joined us in the studio. That can mean only one thing. Here's a Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta released a statement today addressing Brian Ferentz. He says he's spoken with Ferentz as well as the Big Ten Conference and considers the issue resolved without any formal discipline. Iowa cornerback Josh Jackson has really had a good year so far, and the buzz around him nationally continues to grow each week. He now leads the nation with 15 pass breakups, and yesterday he was named a Pro Football Focus's National Defense of the Week. He was also selected as a midseason All-American last week and is creeping into the first couple rounds in many mock drafts. The first college football playoff rankings were released last night. Georgia, Bama, Notre Dame, and Clemson make up the top four. Ohio State, Penn State, and Wisconsin each make the top 10 at 6, 7, and 9, respectively. Iowa State comes in at 15 and has a date with number 11 Oklahoma State in 2 weeks. The UNI men's basketball team is traveling to Madison today for an exhibition with Wisconsin. Proceeds from the game will be donated directly to a hurricane relief fund with Team Rubicon. Schools are typically only allowed 2 exhibition games, but the NCAA granted leeway this year for a third, so long as the funds would be used in response to recent disasters. Iowa State Wrestling held its media day yesterday. One interesting note from Ames is the Cyclones' only returning NCAA qualifier, Marcus Harrington, is bumping up to heavyweight, going from 197 pounds to now around 240. Tonight after the show, if you haven't heard by now, it's the best two words in sports, Game 7 between the Astros and Dodgers. That's going to be on all three KGYM frequencies.
All right, Gary Reima, play-by-play voice of the Panthers, set to join us at the bottom of the hour. This will be the first meeting between these two teams officially since the 2005 NCAA tournament in Oklahoma City when the Badgers scratched out a five-point win over the Panthers. It should be a fun one tonight, and we'll see how things play out. I think there are a couple question marks about this team, which is picked to finish second in the Missouri Valley. Iowa is going to return to action tomorrow. They've got Belmont Abbey, the second and final exhibition game at Carver-Hawkeye Arena before the season starts for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawks. Hour number one, halfway in the books. Back with more after this.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
October. Now the Texans kick off the month of November facing a Colts team whose season's going in the wrong direction.
That's the ultimate goal, is to come out with a win.
Football Sunday, the Colts and Texans. Noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Brickley, the best team in baseball, set to collide with the best offense in baseball with expectations sky high for tonight's Game 7 of the World Series between the Astros and the Dodgers. For the second time in this postseason, Houston will need to win a Game 7 going with Lance McCullers Jr. LA is going to counter with Yu Darvish, but perhaps the biggest question is going to be how quickly does A.J. Hinch and Dave Roberts go with their aces out of the pen in Dallas Keuchel and Clayton Kershaw. Coverage starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and available on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, the Astros 2-6 in this postseason away from Minute Maid Park. The NFLPA filed a motion on behalf of Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott with the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, seeking an emergency injunction to prevent the NFL from enforcing Elliott's 6-game suspension. Patriots adding former Niners quarterback Brian Hoyer for 3 years, and following its Monday night loss to Kansas City, the Broncos electing to start Brock Osweiler over Trevor Siemian at quarterback against the Eagles. Duke is number one in the AP preseason college basketball poll for the 2nd straight season. Michigan State, Arizona, Kansas, and Kentucky round out the top 5.
See for yourself why buying a business trip at Upside.com is a triple win. Use code BAMANI, and you'll get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com when you buy your next business trip at Upside.com. You deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
Hey, pros. From Property. What could be better than watching your team defeat their rival? Celebrating the victory with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Award-winning Larceny Bourbon is made with more wheat for a smoother taste. It's hand-selected by our master distillers from the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey girl, have you done something new with your scales? Using new moisturizer? Nice. It really brings out the hazel in your eyes. Oh, hold on. Are you using whitening strips too? Your fangs look good, girl. Really good.
A really charming snake charmer? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
Wait, what? Have you been doing Pilates too?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hey pros, from property updates to new construction, Lowe's makes it easy to save during our Ready to Refresh event. Get up to 30% off appliance special values, including great brands like GE. That's up to 30% off washers, dryers, refrigerators, and more. And knock new doors off your list with up to 10% off select in-stock Therma-Tru entry doors. For details, see lowesforpros.com or stop by the Pro Desk at your nearest Lowe's. Appliance offer valid 9/28 through 10/31. Door offer valid 10/23 through 11/3. Selection varies by store. U.S. only.
This week, tune in to the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo.
Sorry, Finny. The fans are craving so much Dr. Pepper, I thought I'd borrow some of your airtime.
Security!
Hey, look, whether you're watching college football or calling to some guy's radio show, Dr. Pepper makes college football that much sweeter. So grab some of your local store today.
Can I have one of yours?
Hey, we got a caller. You're on the Larry Culpepper Show with your host, Larry Culpepper.
That's it.
That's Dr. Pepper, the one fans crave.
435, welcome back in, 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency, the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way here on KGYM as we lead into Game 7 of the World Series tonight. The Dodgers and the Astros baseball season coming to an end, and the final time that we Cub fans in Eastern Iowa can say that we're the defending World Series champions. Joining us now, one of those said Cub fans, Gary Rima, who's got a busy night tonight. He's going to be at the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin for that exhibition game between the Northern Iowa Panthers and the Badgers. I believe these two teams haven't met since the NCAA tournament. Gary, is that correct?
Well, they did meet the last 2 years in those secret scrimmages, Todd. That's kind of how this thing, I think, came about, to play this charity game against Wisconsin, as Coach Jacobson and Coach Gard have struck up a friendship. And the previous 2 years, they played one of those private scrimmages. I think one of them they actually met in Dubuque and played somewhere in Dubuque. But when Wisconsin decided that they'd like to try and do one of these charity games for hurricane relief, one of the first calls that Coach Gard made was to Ben Jacobson to see if you and I was interested in. And that's how that came about. But as far as actual official game, yes. Last time they met was in the NCAA tournament.
So what are you expecting tonight, Gary, with the Panthers and the Badgers?
Well, I'm anxious to see Tywan Pickford and Austin Fife, the true freshman. It sounds like Pickford will be in the starting lineup tonight. Anxious to see how improved Bennett Cook and Clint Carlson are in their game. Clint spent a ton of time shooting the basketball during the offseason, guys. He's really worked on his offensive game, worked on the three-point shot a lot. So they played a secret scrimmage this past Saturday against South Dakota State, and in talking with Coach Jacobson, I think he saw some things he really liked out of those two seniors. Wyatt Lohouse has been injured. He did not play this past Saturday in that scrimmage with South Dakota State. I'm anxious to see if he's healthy enough to go, because I think he's a big key for the Panthers to have the kind of season that we'd like to have, not only in the non-conference part of the season, but in the league schedule. But and then to go up against a quality opponent. And Wisconsin, I realize they're picked about in the middle of the pack in the Big Ten, but they've got Ethan Happ back, and they got a seven-footer. I mean, they're gonna give us some problems. So This is a really good opponent just to go out there and play an exhibition game against and kind of see what you do have, what you got to work on before you play another exhibition game this coming Sunday, and then get into it for the regular season a week from Friday when you got to take on the defending national champion North Carolina Tar Heels.
Gary, you mentioned quality opponents, and I think that's a very common thing for you and I in the non-conference, and it's no different this year. You play a Wisconsin team in an exhibition, then UNC to lead off the season. How have teams in the past responded to that tough non-conference schedule, or does it just kind of depend on the team?
You know what? I think the players really like it. There was a couple of seasons ago where we did this real tough non-conference schedule, and a lot of the games were on the road, didn't have a lot of home games in November and December. I think that really wore on the team, but I think they embraced the schedule that Coach Jacobson and his staff has put together this year. A lot of those really quality games are at home with Xavier and UNLV and Texas San Antonio that won 27 games last year. And then you got the neutral site game against Iowa State in Des Moines. Great tournament to go to in the battle for Atlantis, where you're going to play SMU and possibly Arizona and some other really high profile programs. And I really think that our guys just, they love it. I think they like being on the big stage. They like their chance to knock off what some people call the big dog. And our guys, I don't think they'd want it any other way. It also, I think they also realize it gives you a chance to be in the discussion for an at-large berth. If you don't win the Missouri Valley Conference postseason tournament and the automatic bid into the big dance, I think if you pick some of these teams off, you know, the year we knocked North Carolina off in a regular season game, and the years where we beat Iowa or Iowa State and had some of those big non-conference wins, and then had a good Missouri Valley Conference season, but didn't get the automatic berth, we still were able to get an at-large bid into the tournament because we did such a good job with some of those non-conference games. So I think it's the right formula, and I think this is a good team, by the way, to face a schedule like this with the seniors we do have back, plus, you know, Wyatt Lohaus, he's like a senior. He'll be a redshirt junior. We got some good depth in the guard court. I think this is a great team to throw a tough schedule at. And if you don't do well in the non-conference part of your season, it's still going to really prepare you for what you're going to need to do in the league part of it, the Missouri Valley Conference part of your schedule. And no matter if you're 500 after your non-conference games, I think this team will have enough experience and has been challenged enough that when they face the conference, they'll feel like they can win that league title.
Gary Rimo, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, joining us here on a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brummelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn. Madison, Chapel Hill, tough road trips for the basketball team to start off. And speaking of tough road trips, Fargo, North Dakota, a 30-14 loss last weekend to NDSU. Turns out the Bison are still pretty good, Gary.
Can we just keep talking basketball?
Well, as much as I would like to, we'll pivot back to football.
You got to tip your cap to the Bison. They know how to win, and they have a formula that they have used to win five national championships in the last 6 years and made it to the semifinals last year. And they used that winning formula on UNI this past Saturday. They didn't make a bunch of mistakes. They forced five turnovers, and they turned turnovers into points. And they just wear you down with kind of a punishing offense that uses the play-action pass as well as anybody. And just a real opportunistic type team. And you know, you and I led early 7-0. Our defense was put into some really tough positions with turnovers, and we block a couple of field goals, and you're thinking, hey, we're going to be all right. We're up 7-0. And then they get a pick six and get all momentum on their side, and they rattle off 30 unanswered points and built a 30-7 lead. So, you know, they're a great program, and Coach Kleiman's done a fabulous job with them. And even as well as we played in the first half, and as good as I felt our defense was playing, they did a great job to shut down our running game, slow down our offense. We just could not get the ground game going, and you saw what happened. So they're going to be a team to be reckoned with all the way to the national championship game. You're going to have to play a really good four-quarter game, 60 minutes of good football to beat that club. They're undefeated for a reason, ranked number two in the country, and we saw it firsthand this last Saturday at their place.
You mentioned their formula. How similar is their formula at the FCS level to what Alabama does at the FBS level, where sometimes their defense is as big a threat to score as their offense?
Very similar. That's a really good analogy. I mean, that's how they like to play. They'll have a decent ground game to move the chains, to ball control it. Then they work in the play action pass, and they'll have skilled guys on offense that can hurt you, but they really love to put the game at times in the hands of their defense and just get stops, score with their defense, shut you down, whether it's your running game, your passing game, make you one-dimensional. It's a pretty solid analogy, because I've seen it now for a number of years that North Dakota State uses that particular formula, and they work it to a T. And you know, they've done a great job in just reloading every year. They've got guys just waiting for their opportunity, and they've had some injuries this year. They had an All-American lineman in Menard that got hurt during fall camp and isn't even playing this year, but they haven't even missed a beat on defense, and that just tells you that they've got that kind of depth that you need to sustain during a tough grind of a season, and similar to what Alabama does. They just reload every year. One guy goes down, it's next man in, and that seems to be what the Bison have hung their hat on, too.
It's not North Dakota State, but South Dakota, another tough game on the schedule. It seems like we're talking about tough games every week with you, Gary.
Fourth straight game against a top 10 ranked opponent. How about that? I mean, and if you play in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, sooner or later, you're going to play four, five, maybe six rated teams on your eight-game conference schedule. I mean, I always talk about how tough we have it, but then I look at a team like Missouri State or Indiana State where they're facing six or seven teams that are top 25 caliber football programs. So, but it's our fourth straight game against a top 10 ranked team. I don't want to take anything away from North Dakota State, but with what South Dakota has done this year, they might be just as good as the team we just faced last week. And they do it, the Coyotes do it with great offense. They're averaging almost 530 yards of offense per game, fairly balanced, 214 or so on the ground, another 300-plus through the air. Their quarterback, Chris Strebler, the transfer from University of Minnesota, makes their offense go. He's thrown for 2,300 yards. He's their leading rusher on the team. But just to tell you how good they are, he gets hurt in one of their first series last week against Southern Illinois, a shoulder injury, and they go to their backup quarterback, a sophomore in Austin Simmons, and they beat Southern Illinois 42-0. Strebler never did come back into play last Saturday. Now, they said he could have. He was warming up on the sideline, but when they had a three-touchdown lead at halftime, they thought, nah, let's save him for you and I. Let's not throw him back out there. So he will play. Strebler will play against the Panthers. But their defense has been good, too, and I think they thought going into the season that might be a weakness of theirs. But, you know, they shut out a Southern Illinois team that put 30-some points on Memphis and beat Illinois State 42-7. And Illinois State, you know, just has that lone conference loss to Southern. So for South Dakota to shut them out and win the way they did without their regular starting quarterback, plus, guys, South Dakota had two of their starting defensive backs and a third defensive back who's a backup. They were all suspended before the game last Saturday, and it sounds like they're out for the rest of the year with the trouble they got in at South Dakota, and their defense still shut out Southern Illinois. So I this is a really, really good football team coming to the Dome on Saturday, and the Panthers are in a must-win mode, I think. I think they got to win out to be a playoff team. If we get this one, we would have beaten three top 10 ranked teams. Then you got to just finish it off and beat Missouri State and Indiana State. And at 6-2 in the league, 7-4 overall, you and I's a lead pipe lock to be in the playoff field. But if you don't win this game and you win out and you're 6-5, then you're putting it in the hands of the committee. And I'm just not sure that our resume is good enough at 6-5 this year to get in.
Gary, lost in the defeat against North Dakota State was another good defensive performance by the Panthers. Is this unit playing their best football of the season right now?
The first half, I thought they played great. I thought going into the game on Saturday that as a team we were playing our best football. Offensively, defensively, special teams, we were playing great football when we knocked off Youngstown State and South Dakota State in back-to-back games. I liked what the defense did in the first half. I thought they got wore down some in the second half, couldn't get off the field, made some mistakes, some penalties on the defensive side that hurt us. But even with that said, I do feel like going into the game on Saturday that the defense is playing at a high level. And this might be, guys, this as good as North Dakota State is, and I think North Dakota State, like we talked about, they put a lot of the onus of winning games on their defense to get their offense good field position, which they did, or score. I think this South Dakota offense, at least looking at it on paper and video and seeing what they do, I think this is the toughest offense, in at least as far as an FCS opponent, that we will have faced to date. So our defense is going to have to play great on Saturday if we want to have a chance to knock off the sixth-ranked team in the country.
Great stuff as always, Gary. Enjoy that brief trip to Madison. And, oh, by the way, don't think we forgot, happy belated birthday. What'd you do to celebrate yesterday?
Hey, my wife actually treated. We went out for a great supper last night. Went to a place we like to go to in Osage. It's called I Tell You What. So when people ask me where you want to go, I just say, I tell you what. We're going to the I Tell You What restaurant in Osage. Great food, and just had kind of a nice night knowing that I had to get on the road today and cover you and I basketball in Madison. So didn't overdo it. Hey, at my age, guys, we don't over celebrate at my age. We just kind of take it easy and live for the next day.
All right. Season's overlapping. Plenty to talk about each week with you, Gary. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, guys.
Gary Reim, a play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. UNI, Wisconsin, exhibition game at the Kohl Center tonight as basketball season gets underway for the Panthers. And I just want to know, if these exhibitions or these scrimmages are secret, how does Gary know about them? He seems to know about all these secrets.
He has insider knowledge.
Yeah. The secret scrimmage stuff is just ridiculous, but that's how the NCAA legislates things. And as you mentioned on the program yesterday, Fran McCaffrey at Iowa would prefer to play a secret scrimmage in one exhibition game, but because of the Big Ten ACC Challenge home and away schedule this year, where Iowa thought they were going to be at Carver-Hawkeye Arena but are on the road, they are going with the two exhibition games, Iowa hosting Belmont Abbey tomorrow night at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Kyle's going to join us inside the studio here coming up in just a little bit. He'll have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. 5 o'clock hour on the way. Don't forget, 6 o'clock tonight, Tristan Cockcroft, VSPN.com. Get those fantasy football questions to us now, 319-366-1600. Text us now, and they go to the front of the line for Tristan. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 106.3 and 107.5 FM and 1600 AM KGYM after this.
Riverside Casino and Golf Resort has been a huge supporter of the Corridor Classic Tour de Cure for years, and this year they're hosting a kickoff event. This Friday from 11 to 2, sign up for the ride and registration is only $10. You get that early bird discount and a jump start in raising funds for the American Diabetes Association. Begin the countdown to the 2018 Corridor Classic Tour de Cure Friday at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, 15 minutes south of Iowa City, or go to diabetes.org/Corridor Classic.
There's only one tailgate giving you the chance to win free airfare on Allegiant. It's the Eastern Iowa Airport tailgate. The tent goes up 4 hours before kickoff, so stop by and sign up for your chance to win free airfare on Allegiant. Play some games and enjoy eats and drinks, too. It's time to start planning spring break, so tailgate with the Eastern Iowa Airport and Allegiant this Saturday near Kinnick in the grassy grove of trees just past the right field fence of Duane Banks Iowa Baseball Complex. The Eastern Iowa Airport. More seats, more flights, more options. Fly CID.
Is your power tool not working? Does your mower or chainsaw need maintenance? If you're having these issues with your power equipment or just need something tuned up, let the factory-trained technicians at Acme Tools fix the problem for you. We'll assess the issue and give you a free estimate to get it fixed. Mention this ad and we'll take 10% off your service work. For quality service work and parts, visit the Acme Tools Service Department and let us help you do your best work. Acme Tools on Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
4:53. Welcome back in. Hour number one almost in the rearview mirror. And yes, get those fantasy football questions to us for Tristan tonight. He's going to join us at 6:05. His appearance is sponsored by Imon Communications. Plenty more to get to. Hour number two, we'll continue to talk a little bit about the World Series. And Gary Barta sat down and met with Brian Ferentz yesterday. And here to tell you all about that and then some, it's Kyle Mann with another Midwest One Big Board update. Midwest One has over 40 locations for your banking needs.
Gary Barta released a statement today addressing Brian Ferentz. He says he's spoken with Ferentz as well as the Big Ten Conference and considers the issue resolved now without any formal discipline. Iowa cornerback Josh Jackson has really had a good year so far, and the buzz around him nationally continues to grow each week. He now leads the nation with 15 pass breakups, and yesterday he was named to Pro Football Focus's National Defense of the Week. He was also selected as a midseason All-American last week and is creeping into the first couple rounds in many mock drafts. The first college football playoff rankings were released last night. Georgia, Bama, Notre Dame, and Clemson make up the top four. Ohio State, Penn State, and Wisconsin each make the top 10 at 6, 7, and 9, respectively. Iowa State comes in at 15 and has a date with number 11 Oklahoma State in 2 weeks. The UNI men's basketball team is traveling to Madison today for an exhibition with Wisconsin. Proceeds from the game will be donated directly to a hurricane relief fund with Team Rubicon. Schools are typically only allowed 2 exhibition games, but the NCAA granted leeway this year for a third, so long as the funds would be used in response to recent disasters. Iowa State Wrestling held its media day yesterday. One interesting note from Ames is the Cyclones' only returning NCAA qualifier, Marcus Harrington, is bumping up to heavyweight, going from 197 pounds to now around 240. And tonight after the show, it's Game 7 of the World Series between the Astros and Dodgers. That's set to start at 720 on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
Some sad news to pass along for fans of minor league baseball, but Myron Noodleman has passed away. Do you know who Myron Noodleman is, Alex?
Not even the slightest clue, okay. But rest in peace.
I'm with Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette on this one. He was never exactly my cup of tea. His real name was Rick Hader, and he was basically, he played this character that was sort of like Jerry Lewis and the Nutty Professor. Think Nutty Professor Jerry Lewis. And he went around, and you know, you usually see him on Friday or Saturday night. He was here in Cedar Rapids several times, although the Colonels don't necessarily bring in traveling acts like him all that much anymore. But he passed away, which was unfortunate. I think he was battling a form of cancer, if I remember, a rather aggressive form of cancer. So lots of baseball on the mind tonight. Game 7 of the World Series. We'll have it for you coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. Keep it here on KGYM all week long for... Well, we've got Thursday night football on the horizon. We've got high school football playoffs and that Iowa State-West Virginia game this weekend as well. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, joined us on Monday. If you missed his reaction to Iowa State's latest victory, you can always check out our podcasts. They're available on KGYMradio.com. And, yes, lots more to get to, including, you know what? No. I don't want to spoil that. No. We're going to save that for later. No. Put that away.
Serious question.
Yeah. Ask it in 30 seconds.
Are we sure that I'll tell you what restaurant that Gary Rima brought up, he's not a part owner of it? Because isn't that his catchphrase?
Sounds like something that I'll tell you what.
If I see an Oh Baby restaurant, yeah, then I'm going to be really suspicious.
Yeah. It certainly sounds like a place that Gary would spend a birthday celebration. Let's leave it at that as we make our way toward the 5 o'clock hour World Series action on tap tonight. And lots of news out of the NFL, including the Cleveland Browns doing very Cleveland Brown things, but it may have actually benefited them. And O.J. Simpson is sort of in the news today. Not really, but sort of, and I can't resist mentioning it. We'll get to that coming up in hour number 2 of the program as well. Keep it here, KGYM. More on the way after this.